With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome to Conversations with My Dog with me, Marnie Jahangiri. Now, I'm absolutely super excited to interview Cindy McNeil Reagan, Russian Dog Rescue at Freedom Farm, saving dogs from the dog meat trade, UK. Over the years, I heard so many incredible stories behind the two women, Cindy and daughter Zoe. I almost became a first-hand witness when Zoe drove into the UK with a truck full of Chinese rescue dogs from the dog meat trade. She did it all by herself. Throughout the 8 years as a Doga teacher, I heard from new owners who adopted Russian dogs from the dog meat trade that Russian dog rescue is and always will be the real deal. They take little credit and remain humble and consistent throughout their work as they save many, many lives. They finally own enough space, Freedom Farm, to take care of more dogs. All of the dogs are kept on a 6-acre site in Somerset, where dogs are fully assessed in a variety of situations before being homed, and if necessary, are retrained before a suitable home is found. Sometimes dogs are able to go straight to their new families, depending on the situation. With International Doga Day, June 21st, I have a little special something to announce at the end of our chat, so stay tuned. Now, I'm so excited to welcome Cindy and Zoe on the show. Namapaw, hello.
Hi.
That was a long intro.
That's okay.
Well, we got to start with an introduction. Who do we have on our laps today?
This rather beautiful girl is Bagheera.
She is a Bagheera. So is she from Spain?
No, she's from China.
And could you tell me a little bit about her story?
Yeah, so we believe that she was probably hit by a truck on the road in Yan, which is near the big shelter that we help. And a lot of the time in China, the dogs will run alongside these little cars and things, and in and out of the traffic with no sort of regard to their safety whatsoever. And more often than not, they get hit by these vehicles and bounced over the road. And then there they will lie on the side of the road with broken limbs and backs and all sorts. And I'm sure that sometimes they just get picked up and chucked in trucks for the meat trade. But luckily she was rescued by a lady in Yan, a Chinese lady. And we were renting a boarding facility at the time in Chengdu for many, many of the dogs. And she was just put into our boarding facility under our wing. So she has... it's her spine. It's part of her spine, isn't it?
Yeah. So her spine has almost like a small break in the bottom, which then affects her mobility to be able to walk strongly and in a straight line. But it's definitely improved since she's been here because she's been able to build up muscle around her bones, which then gives her more strength so she can actually stand now and... She's much more mobile now, but she's weak, isn't she, on her back legs?
Yeah.
But she definitely, it doesn't stop her getting around.
No, she's done really well. So she does struggle to walk, but she also, when she arrived to us, because she had to sit in our boarding for, well, about 18 months because of the whole COVID situation. And when she arrived, we had to get her mammary strip all removed as well because she had mammary cancer. So she's been through a lot. So she's had that done. And now she lives with us and she's an elderly girl. Well, I better not let her hear me say that, mind you. But she's absolutely phenomenal. So, you know, yeah, absolutely phenomenal. phenomenal little girl. Mm. And then you've got Fox.
And then I've got, this is Mrs. Fox, is her full name. And Mum actually rescued Mrs. Fox on one of her trips out to China. It's got to be coming up 3 years ago now, isn't it?
More than that. 2018.
Was it? 2018. Mm-hmm. She went into the shelter in Yan, which has... It's around 5,000 dogs in. It's horrible.
Not anymore. It's really, really slowed down now. But
and
it was there, wasn't it?
Fox was there in a pen, just, well, dying really, wasn't she?
She'd come off a truck, yeah.
Yeah, she'd come off a meat truck. And then we took her in, and unfortunately Fox has old breaks in her hips. So she has very wonky back legs as well. And she's highly sensitive. She's probably one of the most sensitive dogs we've ever come across. So I kept her with me because she has to have medications and things like that. So, yeah, our little survivors, aren't you? Mm-hmm. Two of them.
When you say highly sensitive, is that physical, mental, emotional, all of it? Just sensitive to probably scared of humans, everything?
All of it, really. A lot of things. She's just sensitive to life. She's sensitive to life, really. She's sensitive to if anything touches her too quickly or something brushes past her too quickly, she'll do like a big scream, and it's like almost like a panic, isn't it? And then when she went in to be spayed over here, it was literally she would just scream and scream after her operation because she just thought something horrific was happening to her. So it's taken us a long time to be able to bond together and feel comfortable with each other, and she's much more comfortable now. Bless her.
And what do you think has happened to her in the past? What do you think happened? I mean, is she a dog meat rescue?
She was on a meat truck, so that is guaranteed 100%. And some Chinese activists saved her, but then obviously she was put in a shelter, which wasn't the best place for her. And so she was on a meat truck, and she's just been smashed about. And she was so emaciated, thin, there was nothing there to protect her anyway. She was just fur and bone. She was so, so poorly, wasn't she? She was a very weak little girl.
Very weak, very, which a lot of them are really, Manny. They're very, you know, they get all these broken bones and things, and, you know, then they're just put into shelters, and then obviously they're not given any treatment, and then their bodies are so weak, and then they catch all these diseases, and, you know, so they just end up sort of, this is where these Chinese dogs, I think, come into a whole thing of their own, don't they, Zoe? Because they have this real inner strength in them to survive. They want to survive so badly.
They're heroes, aren't they? We call them our war heroes.
They are the heroes. These Chinese dogs are
the
heroes.
We're not the heroes.
Not
God,
us.
No.
They are the heroes. They are like gold, aren't they? We call them heroes. And when anybody adopts one of our Chinese dogs, we say to them, you should be honoured. And this, you've now got a war hero in your house. And these dogs are like gold. And they are... You know, this is a privilege.
Yeah.
You must feel honoured to have one of these dogs in your home.
Unbelievable. When did you start rescuing dogs from the dog meat trade? But when did you start all this? When did you begin? Whose idea was it?
Oh. Mums. Always mums. She's the one who gets us into all the trouble. It's always mums.
Always my fault. Always my fault. But... Well, we've been going as a charity for about 16 years for the end of this year as an organisation. We registered as a charity. We got sort of about 4 or 5 years into it and then registered as a charity. So we've been going a long time, and it's been a real struggle. And about, it'll be 5 years now. So nearly 5 years ago, we started rescuing from China. I'd always wanted to rescue from China. It was something that was on my list, if you like, that there was just something, but I felt that because of the situation and the experience you need to be able to go and go into these situations and do it justice. You know, anyone can rescue a dog, but it's what you do with that animal afterwards is what counts for the rest of its life. It's an ongoing thing. Even if they go into a home, you're still responsible for that dog. So basically, I just set out to rescue 5, didn't I?
Yeah.
So I'm going to rescue 5 dogs from China. Right. Crikey.
I had a couple of more zeros on that.
Yeah, and it just literally, it's one of those things. And I remember putting it up on social media. I'm going to rescue these five dogs from this shelter. And I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And everyone was like, whoa, right, okay. And we were, apart from Say No to Dog Meat, we were only the second charity in the UK at that point to ever bring dogs in from China. So Say No to Dog Meat obviously had brought some dogs in from China. And but yeah, we're the second one to have started it. And then it was kind of like, it kind of catapulted after that, didn't it? So jumped behind us really. And our eyes were just so opened. And even though I've always known about the dog, well, to be honest, it was the cat meat trade that actually first I noticed. And I remember that from even being a little girl and opening up the big newspapers just because you could, and they were massive like this, and seeing a picture, and I was about 9 years old, of a cat in a like a basket thing on the back of a, it might have been in Thailand or something, but obviously they were talking about it. It was like in a Daily Telegraph. I remember being a little girl and seeing it in this paper, and this vision was so prevalent in my head, and I kept thinking, why would anybody do that? I don't understand. So I've always thought about it, but I never really understood it. So when I started looking into it, I literally just couldn't believe what I was seeing. I just couldn't believe it.
It was just worse than what we'd ever
imagined.
And it
was worse, yeah. And then I think it's that thing where you've got to go and have a look for yourself, isn't it? I mean, Zoe spent loads of time in China. I've only been a couple of times. I kind of say, look, I've seen it now. I know what goes on. I know what the dogs have been through, because I truly believe you have to see it to understand the dogs that you are saving, so you can understand their mental situation.
You need to experience what they've experienced almost. You need to be in heightened, stressful environments with them to really understand what they've been through.
Because they all suffer from PTSD, don't they?
Yeah.
They all suffer from PTSD. And I think, you know, these horrors of things that have happened to them, just because you move them out of that situation, it doesn't take away what they feel and what they must think. And you know, like the post-traumatic, they carry this forever. And there's different situations that they can get into which trigger things. And this is why they're so... Which a lot of dogs that come from lots of different countries, you know, we're not, you know, but China is, it is another level.
Yeah.
It's another level. It's a totally another level of abuse. I mean...
This is what I don't understand. Yeah, we talk about South Korea, Cambodia and everything, but China is still one of the worst countries. And sorry, this is not an anti-China podcast or anything like that, but it's still happening. Can I ask you?
No, I agree. I understand what you're saying. I know.
It still is. But is Yulin taking place? Is it still going on? Is it going to go ahead on June 21st? What do you think?
Yes.
As
far as we're aware, yeah.
I don't think anything would stop it.
Nothing's going to stop it.
Pandemic, but of course, no one would stop it, would it?
And how come? Because it seems like they're just so adamant to hold on to their tradition. Because... I spoke to Wendy Higgins from, you know, HSI, and she said things are changing in China. There's new, you know, they are sort of recognizing that dogs are not livestock, but can be pets, and, you know, and things like that. Are things changing? No? Yes?
Do you know what I think the problem is? I do think that China does like to tell people what they want to hear. Yeah. Do you agree?
Yeah.
So I do think they want to kind of set, and there is things, I'm not saying, because there's some amazing people over in China, and, you know, let's face it, if it wasn't for those Chinese activists and the way that they, you know, they are amazing, they're also another level, but another level of goodness, the activists and the people that, there's a lot of people in China that are so disgusted with what goes on, and they're embarrassed, and it must be
highly
awful,
embarrassed.
Highly embarrassed, and it's a communist country, and there's nothing they can do about it. You know, they'll end up in prison, or they'll end up if they start making a big scene about things, and it's hard.
Mm. I do believe as well, because China is so huge, it's such a massive country. So you've got province upon province upon province, and each of those provinces can have almost different rules.
Yeah.
So I think what might be happening in one province where dogs and cats will then be seen as non-livestock and almost a pet animal, doesn't mean that the province next door is going to see it like that. They could have the totally opposite view. So I think things may be changing in certain provinces, but as China as a whole, personally, I'm going to say no. Because, and we have to remember here as well, we're talking about a country which is massively corrupt. And like Mum said, they do tell us what we want to hear because they are aware that us Westerners and a lot of other people in countries are aware of what they do. And they know that we disagree with it. So it's almost like, keep them happy, keep them quiet, tell them what they want to hear.
Definitely, definitely. And you need to remember as well that it's not just the dog meat trade where the abuse, you know, it isn't. It is abuse in full stop in China. I mean, the police battering dogs to death on the streets. I mean, we've all seen it. We all saw the story of Coke, the golden retriever, do you remember a few years ago? And this is happening every day in China. It's only when it gets leaked out on social media, you see. But this will be happening day in, day out.
In
Shanghai, when the police take the dogs off people because they say, you haven't got a license, half the time they don't even wait for them to pull it out of their pocket. You know, dogs were being walked along the road. Beautiful little dogs like ours and yours, walking in little jackets and little bow collars and things. And then the next minute, the police are over, drag the dog off you, chucked it in the back of the, and off down to Nanning Road in Shanghai. And Shanghai is renowned for it. And the police depot in Shanghai at Nanning Road, it goes down, they put them down a big chute. And then in the bottom, all these dogs are piled up and piled up and piled up and all dying. And these are people's pets. These are pets. And this is the police. So this is also a massive, massive issue.
Yeah.
The police are, again, I'm not saying every single police officer, because I also know of police officers from Nanning Road that will allow certain activists to take dogs out of that police station to get them out, but it's very few and far between, and it's bad. And it's, this stuff is happening all the time. We've got dogs here. We've just had one come in called Buddy, and he was from a little, I forget the name of the place. He was rescued by a girl from the Philippines, and he'd been battered and battered for being a stray just by the locals. And then they threw him on the side of the road after beating him half to death with poles. And now his whole back's like semi-broken, his legs, isn't it, Zoe?
Yeah.
And he can just about walk. And this was just because he was a stray. So the whole mentality of if you don't want it, just stop it doing what you want it, what it's doing.
There's a lot of people that, even if they've got a dog that's barking, you see the stories of them just chucking them out the windows in the apartment.
Throwing them out of top of the windows.
Oh, the dog's barking, just get rid of it. Or, oh, we don't want this dog anymore, it's got too big for the apartment, I'll just throw it out the window or chuck it out the window.
Torture is almost seen as a form of making them feel very manly and very
in control.
You know. But of course, it isn't just the men, it is the women as well. Women are just as bad in China. Mm. So let's not blame it all on the guys, eh?
Mm. I did a thing with Bill
Bailey. It's a very emotive subject, Manny, and it's so hard.
It's very hard. I mean, Bill Bailey said, I said, do you know what's, you know, he rescued like 7 Bali dogs and everything. And he said, I said, how can we change the mentality? And he said, education, education, education. Is that it? Is that the answer? Or should we expose it more? Yeah. It's such a, you know, every time I want to.
It's like waiting for it to go down, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Every time I speak about International Doga Day, I contact the press. No one will do an interview. No, the big papers don't mention China. They don't want to mention it. It's the only thing you get the Daily Mail mentioning Yulin potentially. It's so hard to talk about this. It's Piers Morgan did an interview with Pip Thompson about it, and she was grilled for everything because of the South, you know, like debating between chicken, you know, should we save the chickens and the cows as well as the dogs? But the whole point is the brutality of it, the whole brutality of it. And the media, unfortunately, covers up a lot as well. So they cannot mention it. They cannot mention Yulin. You're never allowed to mention Yulin. on a mainstream media news channel. It's just, it's not, you know, they just don't talk about it. I'm so sick and tired of it, you know. Every time I tried, every time I felt like I failed, but I didn't, because I always did my thing and I spread the word, you know. But, you know, we always are outside the embassy on June 21st, but outside the Chinese embassy, and it's the same old story. And sometimes I think, are they giggling? You know, are they sitting and having a hamburger upstairs and watching us going, oh, here they go again, here they go again. It does feel like Groundhog Day, the whole thing. But what do you think? Is there a way out? Is there a way out from this torture? Is there a hope at the end of the tunnel? How would you see that?
Do you know what? To be honest, right, the only thing that is going to cap it, I think it will always go on underground, because I think there's generations of generations of generations, and it's bred into their DNA that this is just what they do. They eat dogs and they slaughter dogs. And I think that even if it was banned, if that makes sense, across China, I still think they would take it underground.
Yeah.
But obviously it wouldn't be on the scale, but there would always be that generation that would want it still to continue. The only thing that's going to make any massive difference is to bring in animal welfare laws.
Yeah.
So, of course, we have no animal welfare laws in China. So
where do you begin? Where, if you don't have an animal welfare law, there's no starting point, is there?
Yeah.
There's no
animal welfare laws. They need to start recognising the dogs as sentient beings, and cats, and
all of them.
But it, yeah, it's really, I mean, it's quite disturbing, isn't it, when we have a virus from Wuhan and the wet, all this stuff with the wet markets, contrary of what anybody believes, whether it came from there or didn't, that's by the by, because let's face it, none of us really know the truth.
Mm.
But
no, we never know.
The wet markets are all still open again now. You know, it's all still going on. The meat markets have never been busier in China. You know, we get a lot of footage that comes over from different things, and it's like it never happened, you know?
I mean, I think that says a lot as well for a country not to have any repercussions for infecting the rest of the world and have just been allowed to continue their daily practice in with their animals or in their laboratories, and just there's no one has taken any, you know, who is
no,
to blame
no responsibility.
There's no responsibility for this. And that says a lot as well, because China is a powerful country and the rest of the world knows it. So it's a fearful thing. They're scared of them. Don't say anything, because we don't want to upset China. They produce a lot of the stuff for the world, and it's keep them happy. That's what I believe anyway. I don't know if it's...
I think that's right.
I mean, I remember Trump was trying to expose China.
Well, yeah, that was one thing he tried to do.
He did good.
But at least he
challenged them. It's the first president that ever challenged them. He was good with Iran. You know, I'm from Iran. And he was good with Iran, but China, he was like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but they have. They've just got away with it. And which just goes to says it all, really, doesn't it?
Yeah.
When we say, is it going to change? Because no matter whether that virus came from a bat or whether it came from
a lab
or whatever, the point of it is there was no serious repercussions.
Yeah.
And that, how on earth is
that's bizarre in itself, though. I
totally bizarre when it's actually screwed over the whole world. It's
not the amount of people that have affected, and it's killed people. People have lost their lives through it, and no one has had to take any responsibility of it. And it's almost like,
swept under the carpet.
Sweep under the carpet. Don't upset them. Don't want to take.
So
them
the
on.
Dogs and the cats and all the other.
How are they going to have a chance?
What chance do they have? And this is what we say, isn't
it?
And I know people want to hear all the positive, and they want to hear, oh yes, and this is happening, and that's happening. And there is positive. There will be positive. Of course, there is always something positive. But it's really the scale. If it was a little place like Spain, you know, you've watched countries like that over the years develop with more compassion, so you don't drive through Spain and see the swarms and swarms of stray dogs like you used to. You might see one or two, but you don't see them in big packs, like, because things have changed. Education, more welfare, you know, it's different. But a place like China is so big. It's so big.
It's almost just out of control.
It's out of control. I mean, I've been up in the mountains in China to this breeding cum slaughter farm, and it's been like right up in the middle of nowhere. And what's going on in there is another level. And that was just one tiny little place. Tiny little place. So you imagine all those places.
It's just so much vast countryside as well.
It's out of control. Out of control. And even if it was banned, they'd still get away with it.
Yeah.
Because the country is so big and you can hide things so well in China because it's such, the countryside, as beautiful as it is, there's a darkness.
Yeah.
We always feel, don't we?
Yeah.
There's a darkness of China. It's dark. It seems, it's sinister because you know what goes on behind the scenes. You know what's behind all those beautiful mountains and things.
That's interesting.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
If you like this podcast, then why not check out one of our other amazing Create podcasts? If you just want a good laugh, then check out The Weekly Roast.
Listen, bitch.
Make an entrance.
I'm a week off sugar.
Bill is in the house.
I will fly to the UK and I will cut you both.
For the more cultured ones among you, join Laura Wright for Music in My Life.
Yeah, let's go.
I'm so glad no one can see me right now because I was doing some weird dance moves.
Your head nothing then, yeah.
Prefer a deep chat? Connie's got you covered on How Are You, the Wellbeing Podcast.
So I just became a lot more productive and happier. And for me, like, that's just worth it.
The Weekly Roast, Music in My Life, and How Are You? Just three more podcasts to feast your ears on. Find them wherever you found this podcast.
Can you literally feel it? Like when you go there, can you feel the vibrations of something dark happening? Mm. Something evil?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, we can, can't we? Yeah. We can feel it.
Feel it strong,
because we're quite... spiritual anyway, aren't we, Zoe? We're very tuned into things anyway, and it's just
we can read, like, we're not I feel like we connect with dogs far more better than we connect with people. Mm. Hence why we do what we do on such a scale that we do it. Our life is what we do. We live with the dogs every day, we work with the dogs every day, we have no other life but this.
Yeah.
And I feel we do connect to them on this other
totally
level.
Different level.
And when we go to China, for me, I've only just got literally the plane lands and I just have this feeling come over me of I can almost feel the dog's pains. Like, I just know it's happening. And I've been lying in bed at night after God knows what's happened that day and I can hear dogs barking in the distance and things. And I'm thinking, oh my God, what's happening to that animal? And that's not safe. That dog's not safe. I know something's happening to it. And I don't know where it is. And it's the most, it's really hard to explain, isn't it? Because it's one of the most.
No animal is safe in China. Even when it's safe, we always say,
we'd
never home a dog
no.
in China. We'd never let somebody keep one of our dogs in China, no matter, I would
no.
never in a million years, no matter how amazing that person might be. It's not about that person. It's about there is no animal welfare laws in that country. And if that dog got out, God knows what could happen. You just don't know. And because it's just not safe. It's not safe. Wrong place, wrong time, any malign could mean gone, their life gone. Yeah.
How many people do you have that go out there and volunteer to help you guys get, save dogs? How big are you now? How big is Rushton?
We've done it all on our own. We do it on our own. We've done it on our own.
I go on my own.
Zoe goes on her own to China without anybody. Don't take teams of people.
It's not about that.
Volunteers or any of this. No.
A lot of people, I feel like, oh, they want to go so they can say they've been and almost look what I've done. But it's not about that. Like, it's about the dogs. And I don't have, when I'm out there, we've got one thing on our mind and it's save as many dogs as possible. We don't have time to think about other people and their feelings. Our head is down. We've got.
Absolutely.
That is it. We're there for one reason. Absolutely. We're not there to make friends or to keep people happy that are there with us. It's not a holiday. It's not a school trip. Educational trip.
It's not a social media thing, no, is it? It's about, not about going that. To do what you need to
put
do.
Put your head down and just get on with it.
You've gone over and literally like just got off the plane and like arranged for someone to meet you, haven't I? And you've just literally gone and Zoe's had a translator and I've said, right, you need to go to this show, and I've said, right, I need you to go here, I need you to go there, and I need you to go there. And you've gone and bought a big old bucket from a hardware store and gone into a shelter and just filled it up to the brim with tiny little puppies all dying, yeah. Didn't you?
Just filled it up and then just take as many dogs as I can.
And then take as many. And take as many of the dogs that aren't just breeds either, because this is the other thing. People, it's like kind of China's being turned into some kind of public pet shop now.
Yeah.
People want to go there. It's like, oh, let's go to China. We can rescue breeds. We can rescue whatever breed it is, which is great. But it's not about that. It's about taking the dogs that need you.
No matter what dog it is, no matter what size, what breed, what age, what medical problems, that dog needs you, you take it, because what else are you doing there? That is what you're there for, and that's what
and we've racked up hundreds and hundreds over the years. Honestly, I kid you not. And now we're just literally coming to the end of the last, well, I don't want to say batch because that's not a nice word, but the last sort of rescue run of the dogs that we rescued in 2019, because obviously they're like a year behind because of COVID, but we've moved loads of dogs anyway. We've moved loads all through COVID, but
we're nearly got everyone.
Yeah, we've moved loads. We've moved about 90.
Yeah.
We've been moving them right through COVID. Oh, yeah.
Oh, they won't stay in there. No way.
How do you get the money to do all this?
I'm starting to wonder. Well, basically, I know. Tell me about it. We've got this blooming great centre as well now. Me and Zoe here sitting here going,
I know.
Oh, right, okay.
This is why we always look like this.
This is why we always look like this. We always look rushing around, covered in all sorts. We've been up since like 6 o'clock. When we're cleaning out all our own kennels as well, we're not expecting other people to do it all for us. It's all, we do it all ourselves, don't we?
All the dogs come here.
All the dogs come here before we home them. We suss them all out, wait for everything. It's all. So the funding side, so we've had a shop. Our shop in Weymouth that I've had, it'll be nearly 11 years this year. And even though it's a very small charity shop, it's been a very successful charity shop. So I've got to be honest, that shop has literally saved our bacon, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Over the years, it really has. And then just public donations, public donations.
Do you have any celebrity voices behind you?
Yeah, so we have the Kemp. So we have Shirley and Martin Kemp.
Shirley is our patron.
Yep.
And they have just adopted Iris, one of our little meat trade survivors, a beautiful little poodle. And Shirley has been amazing.
Amazing.
Shouting about the meat trade and telling people how she's that adopted Iris, how obviously she's not from a breeder and how you should adopt, and what Rushton are doing and our things behind that. And obviously she has Martin Kemp and Roman and Harley, and they have social media platforms and they share things to do with the meat trade and Rushton and things as well. So
she's been amazing.
She's been great. She's a really, really great
she's
woman.
A good ambassador for our organisation.
Yeah. So yeah, we are very lucky to have them on board.
Very can happy. I just for yeah. the listeners, it's quite important, you know, when you go on social media, you see quite a lot of I shouldn't mention any names, but social media platforms that are sort of so-called charities that went out to China, rescued dogs, and then they asked directly for a donation. Do we trust them? Should we donate when they do a crowdfunder? I mean, there's so many of them. Or what kind of research do we need to do
when we have no idea? Where do we put our money in?
I've got to be honest. I'm brutally honest, and I'm probably too honest for my own good sometimes, which gets me into all sorts of trouble. But I say it as it is, because there's no point sugarcoating stuff. It's just not. It isn't. I'm always very wary of organisations that set up organisations just to go and rescue dogs from China. I always think, ooh, unless they are a boots on the ground. I mean, you know, if they're a boots on the ground organisation in China,
yeah,
and they have, and they are doing it day in, day out, cleaning, feeding, rescuing,
you see the results,
looking after, and you see the results. And you see those dogs being moved and going to reputable, moving on to reputable organisations to be assessed, no problem. Because you can kind of see it, can't you? You can follow it from start to finish.
To finish.
But there's a lot out there, unfortunately. They set up Facebook pages. Yeah, and then it's like, oh, we're rescuing these dogs. Well, I don't think half of them have even been on a plane.
Yeah.
And then you kind of think, right, okay. I believe these Chinese dogs, and all dogs, okay, so I don't want to sound like I'm 100% biased, but obviously this is what we're talking about at this point. So I believe that the dogs should... Oh, I don't really know how to say it.
Say it.
I believe the dogs, they're so precious, these Chinese dogs, and they've fought so hard to survive. It's such a... They have survived such stuff. It's... shameful if the end result for those dogs isn't 100%. We all make mistakes, obviously. I'm not saying anybody doesn't. We're by far from perfect.
Yeah,
but you have to learn from your mistakes. Unfortunately, it's the way some people roll. So if it's the way you roll, stay away. Mistakes, human error, that's normal, you know? But
well, I made them. I made them.
It is a worry when you see mounds and mounds leaving China, and you think, well, where the hell are they going? Where are they going?
You see them being rescued, and then they're in China for such a long time, and they don't actually end up really getting to the end goal. Or
some dogs never leave. People rescue leaving them,
and you just and you see they have a lot of support on social media, but then you don't actually always see the results. Or they do have these rescues, and you know, Instagram run rescues and Facebook run rescues. But as harsh as it sounds, that's what they are. They're not a rescue. Does that make sense? It's not a rescuing day in, day out, moving the dogs, looking after the dogs.
Yeah,
anyone can rescue a dog abroad and get it on a plane by sitting behind a computer screen or on their phone and get it into a home. A lot of these dogs, unfortunately, never even meet their rescuers because they're just sent directly into homes, which we personally...
Don't agree with
after learning from mistakes that it doesn't work. Mm. We like to bring them here. We like to assess, and this is why we fought so hard to get a proper centre and sanctuary here, so we could give sanctuary and space to the dogs and give them time to decompress, realise that they're out of China, realise they're in a positive environment and things are going to be good from now on. And we can get to know them and then actually understand what type of home that they need, and therefore they end up lasting in their adoptive home, and the process is much more calmer for that dog. The transition period has to be much smoother for them because everything has been so heightened and stressful in their life, and they will settle more into a home environment if you do it properly. Personally, I feel
absolutely.
You don't want visitors and things like that because that could stress them out as well.
Yeah, we keep it all very calm. We have this, we have a few really good volunteers, but we keep it very calm and we keep it very simple. And if we think that they can't be rehomed, because if I see a dog and I think, you know, you're reacting to lots of stuff, I can see that you're reacting to lots of stuff, you're not going out there.
Yeah.
You are not going out there in Joe Public. It's not happening. You can stay here, we've got 15 acres of land. You can run around here and do what the hell you want. And that is it. Yeah. And there's a lot of dogs that we've rescued from China, and I haven't rescued them to rehome them. I've rescued them to get them the hell out of that country. I've got one called Parker. He's got half a bloody ear. He's the funniest looking dog you've ever seen, God love him. And I think he's great. And I spotted him in a shelter of bloody thousands of dogs.
Yeah.
I wasn't looking at all the Samoyeds and Retrievers and all the rest of it. I'm looking at Parker. His leg's all up like this. He's savage. They had to dart him to get him out the shelter. He'd been there 7 years, come off a lorry. They're looking at me like I'm batshit. And I was like, that's the dog I want. And he's here with me and he has his own little hut and his bit of land round. I have to get him in a cage. We have to get him in, sedate him if we have to do anything, to take him to the vets.
But we rescue to rescue. We don't rescue to rehome. That's not who we are. And if we can rehome them, bonus, that's great. We'll get them into our home. But we're saying we need to be certain.
Yes. So we a lot of people find it hard. And they say, oh, well, you got all these dogs. You must be hoarders. It's like, no, we're not hoarders. We just like, we like to make sure that the right dogs go out to the homes, but the dogs right that dogs. We feel can't cope with that pressure don't go.
And it's not about going, oh, yes, great. Look at what we've been able to do. Get the dog in the home. It's not about
it
that.
It shouldn't be the end result.
The dog is happy.
The end result should be assessing it and working out what the best situation is for the individual dog.
Yeah.
And it's great when we get a load of dogs in from China and we think, oh, my God, I've got someone at the minute. And I would literally say every single dog that came in 2 weeks ago, we know for a fact they're all homeable, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're all homeable, which is amazing.
Unless they list them that they'll be able to stay here and then they'll be paying up.
But the next lot that come in, there could be five dogs in there and we might think, oh, God, this is not, nah. You just don't know. You don't know.
You never know. But all I can say is every dog is your dog. That is the unique thing. Every dog is sort of a Rushton dog, no matter what. They're yours forever. And that's the bond that you have. That's your, and you're so unique for that. Well, we're almost coming to the end. Zoe, Cindy, I have a little announcement to make and I might burst into tears. But this is the first time, I can actually offer something from International Doga Day. So here we go. Animal Friends are proud to support this year's International Doga Day with a surprise donation of £5,000 to Rushton Dog Rescue in support of helping dogs affected by the dog meat trade in China. Supporting animal welfare is at the heart of everything they do. They believe that every animal should be protected and given the right to live a healthy and happy life, which is why they are so pleased to surprise Rushton Dog Rescue with this donation. Animal Friends are delighted to support Marnie, Doga and her vision of looking after our dogs and strengthening the natural bond we have with them. So there you go. I'm shaking.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
And I tell you what, that couldn't come at a better time.
That couldn't have come at a better time.
You have no idea. That could not have come at a better time. If we could hug you through this screen, we would. Thank you so, so, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I mean, they asked me.
I so appreciate
it. I've just been so lucky. This is the first time I can donate properly and I've been campaigning 5 years. So, thanks to this wonderful podcast, I met so many companies and it's gone full circle and it's gone back to you.
oh my God, you legend.
Thank you so much.
You've
got no idea how much that was needed this month, honestly.
You literally, honestly.
You have no idea, Manny.
No idea.
That is amazing.
It's Animal Friends Insurance. Animal Friends Insurance.
Animal Friends Insurance.
They've supported us in the past, haven't they? They were very good. But you were behind that, though.
Yeah, no.
You were behind that
Thank
to make that
so
happen.
Much.
So I'm really, really, really grateful from all the dogs.
Frankie,
we've got more dogs flying out of China at the end of the month. So that's where that's going.
Literally, we were like, oh, my God, we've got to get the money together for that.
Yeah.
So that, you've got those dogs out of China. So,
yeah.
I can't swear it's a podcast. Amazing.
Yeah.
And we're going to raise some more on International Doga Day, so don't worry.
Thank you so much.
We're going to raise some more. Definitely. You need all the money you need. I mean, it's crazy.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
no
you.
Problem.
And thank you for supporting us.
I'm just the messenger.
No, you're never just a messenger. Without a messenger, we don't have a message, do we?
Do
you know what? Thank you for supporting
exactly.
us for all those years as well. And I'm really glad that we've been able to do the podcast. It was, the other day we were like, oh God, we were going to do it, weren't we? We couldn't do it. And I'm so glad. And thank you. And that's so, so kind of you.
So kind. And my producer and I, Molly, we were like so nervous. We were waiting for you to come on this show because it's like, we can't give it away yet. We can't give it away. Come on the show, Cindy, please. And I know how busy you are.
Oh, God.
Wow. So on behalf of everybody, wow, I hope all the listeners are listening to this. Please, please donate. This is the real deal. This is the real charity, please. And how can we donate? Can you please give us the website one more time? Just really tell us, how can we donate?
Yeah, so you can visit our website, which is www.rushton, which is R-U-S-H-T-O-N, dogrescue.co.uk. And then on there, you can see all the links of how you can donate. You can also find us via Instagram, which is Rushton Dog Rescue, and our Facebook page, which is Rushton Dog Rescue, Saving Dogs from the Meat Trade and UK. So there are our social media platforms. Fantastic. And our website, and through there you can message us. Exactly. Everything. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
If you want to adopt, it's all on the website.
I
would love to meet you in person. We'd love to come to the farm one day if we can, one day, if we're allowed.
Yes, come down.
Are we allowed? Yeah, because I thought you're so private, I'm not allowed to come down. I would love to. It would
be no. We do. We've had some lovely visitors, but we do it on an appointment so that we can give you our proper time.
And we can put the reactive dogs away so no one gets hurt.
Yeah, and keep the ones with the good guys out. Yeah. You might be leaving hopping because you've got your leg nibbled off.
Absolutely, and we can even try a bit of doga, maybe a bit of chanting and relaxation and calming, omming, and maybe I can try a bit of doga on the dogs that are ready. It's like not that, lifting or anything like that. It's just
We are picking therapy.
Exactly. That's really what I want to do. My
Baggy would like that.
Yeah. This is really what I want to do, is to bring doga to rescue dogs. So that's my big mission. So
wow.
There you go. Well, we have a lot to talk about, but Cindy and Zoe, your time. You need to keep feeding those dogs.
Thank you.
I'm gonna close my palms and bow my head.
Yes, they're all gonna be kicking off now.
They're all gonna be kicking off. But
I say namapaw.
Manny, thank you so much.
God bless you, and may God be with you at all times, and protect you and protect those beautiful souls, because I really think you are protected, both of you.
Thank you.
By the divine.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Say thank you, Manny.
Say bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.